Be'ezrat Hashem, we begin Perek Asiri, the 10th and final chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Korban Pesach, the laws of the Pesach Korban in the Sefer Korbanos, in the book of personal sacrifices. We're continuing the theme of the previous parakim, discussing the Eden Korban Pesach, regarding as that applies to the bones, the leftovers, and also regarding the Chagiga that comes on the 14th of Nisan together with the Korban Pesach. Let's now begin to halacha regarding the prohibition of breaking a bone. Hashreva etzem be'pesach tar, if someone breaks the bone of a pure Korban Pesach, which did not become tamei, how is it like the person gets lashed? Shnevik, it says in Pasuk in the Torah, Shemayis be'etzem leisish b'ruboy, a bone of the Korban Pesach you should not break. Something applies by the second one, an ear. It says in Bamidbar be'etzem leisish b'ruboy, a bone of it should not be broken. Now, Aval Pesach shebaba tumah, but let's say it's a Korban Pesach, it's coming in the state of ritual impurity. Like for example, when most of the Jewish people are tamei. Oh, im shavu be'etzem, if you break a bone, ain't it like it doesn't get lashes? Because Mepiash Mu'lamdu, from tradition, they learned when it says, Leishish B'ruboy, you should not break a bone in it. Betar, it's talking about the tar version of a lebetame, not of its tummy. Now, Echad HaShev Es Etzem B'Leil HaMisha Asin, now whether you break the bone with Korban Pesach in the night of the 15th, which is the Seder night, or Yishar Shavah by Etzem B'Yom, or even if a bone is broken from before, when it's in the day of the 14th, or Yishar Shavah Achad Kamayom, if a bone is broken after many days later, it doesn't make a difference. Hariz Aleika, it's not limited to the Seder night, one would still get lashes for this Isser of Etzem Leishish B'Ruboy. Therefore, since it's forbidden to break the bone even after many days later, so sarfen atzmas haPesach, you have to burn the bones of the Korban Pesach bechlal haNeisim b'Sari, together with that which is the leftovers of the meat of the Korban Pesach, which also has to be burned. Now, we're talking about even where the bone doesn't have any meat on it or any marrow, because then it would have to be burnt simply because of the marrow of the meat inside of it. Here, just for the bones itself. Why? Conditionally avoid behind the that it shouldn't cause a stumbling block because you might come to break it when talking about where the obviously at one point was meat on it, but now there's no more meat on it now, so it's included in the types of bones that there'd be Isra Shvira, so therefore we burn it so that it shouldn't be a stumbling so that someone might not by mistake go ahead and crack it. Halacha Gimel, now, in Chayoven, but the liability is not, Ela Shvirus Etzim, only breaking a bone, Sheyesh Lav Kizayis Basim, that had on it an olive-sized piece of meat, or Sheyesh B'Moyach, or has some marrow, which is qualified like meat. Aval Etzim She'im B'Moyach, but if it was a bone that had no marrow, Sheyesh Lav Kizayis Basim, never had an olive-sized of meat, Ena Chayim Al Shvirus Etzim, they're not going to be liable for breaking that bone. Now, Hayu Lav Kizayis Basim, let's say it had an olive-sized piece of meat, V'Shavah Etzim, but you break the bone, Shalei B'Makam Al Basim, not where the actual meat is, Chayiv, that would still be a liability. Even if the place where he's breaking it doesn't have meat on it, that's still a bone that has meat, and one would be liable. Let's say someone breaks a bone and breaks it again in another place, in the same bone, like you're still going to get lashes, it's still another violation. If someone burns bones, or he cuts tendons, he's not going to be liable for breaking bone, it's specifically breaking and that of a bone. Pesach shu na'im mevushal. Let's say Korban Pesach was prepared inappropriately. It was partially roasted or cooked. V'shavah b'yis etzem, and he breaks the bone. Still, like, he's going to get lashes. And the fellow nifsal, even if it became invalidated, but tuma because it became tuma, v'yitzi was taken out of the perimeter where it's allowed to be, v'kizim and things like that. Yesh b'yisr shvirs etzem, there's still a prohibition to break those bones. Now, but remember when we say this is k'shalish le'shasa k'shav nifsal. If it had at one point that it was valid, and then it became invalidated. So, since it was a Korban Pesach at one point, so it doesn't lose that status of breaking those bones. But if it never had an opportunity of being prepared the right way, so it never had the status of a Korban Pesach, for example, where in this context it means to say that the Kohen doing the Avodah had a Machshav of Chutzim Kaimai, or it was done with a Machshav that should be eaten beyond its time. Let's say a thought of changing the title of the owner of the Korban, which these all invalidated from its inception. Right, those would not have a prohibition of breaking the bone because it was never valid in the first place. Let's say someone breaks the bone of the fatty tail, in like there he wouldn't get lashes. Because that's not fit to be eaten because it has to be burnt on the mizbeach, and therefore it doesn't qualify for the isser the lashes of breaking the bone. The cartilage that's like these thin bones. Hadel matar la'achem, it's permitted to eat it. That's not including the issur of breaking a bone. Halachatas hayigadi. Let's say the kid goat was cut in v'rach, small and thin. Shatz moysa v'rachem, where its bones are very soft. Lo yoichal isim, shouldn't eat those bones. Shazer shavetzim, it's still breaking the bones. The machav one eats it like he gets lashes. She'echad hashayver etzim kasha yitzim rach. Because whether he's breaking a hard bones or thin bones, zakal. This is the rule. Kol shenechel b'shur ha'gadol, achar sheis bashel, whatever would be eaten by a large ox, which those are hefty bones, after it's cooked, hu shemutal lecha k'neged menagdi harach achas le'aseh, that's what you could eat from the kid goat that's soft after it's roasted. Meaning, we wouldn't qualify that as bones, because then even by the large ox, even after it's cooked, that's still a bone. One wouldn't eat a bone itself. So what would be eaten then by the shor ha'gadol so that you could eat it now, and not to confuse it, what's even the bones are easy to eat by a young kid goat, is kagan rosh ha'kanafayim. Like, the literally means the end of the wings, but it means the ends of, like, where the joints of the bones, v'haschusim, and the tissue, those are would be eaten even by a large ox, so that you could eat now by the gedi cut in barach, not something that would be a bone, even though now you could eat it, that would be forbidden. Halacha yod. Now, gid narakin, the soft tendons, these ligaments, shesleif malachshus, where they can end up becoming hard. So, even though they're fit, they're edible right now, v'nachon b'pesach, and it's permitted to eat from the karm pesach, because those are things that they would be hard, and they wouldn't be fit to be eaten. Now, it's no prohibition about breaking a bone, but you could eat it. However, in nimna aleihem, you can't. We have to have a kezayis to be on the list. You have to have at least a kezayis part of it. That's not. You cannot count your part of the korban pesach, the kezayis, on these ligaments that are going to end up becoming hard, even though they're edible and you could eat them. Now, however, the nimna moich shabroish, but you could be considered and count for your kezayis the marrow from the head. Why? You could get the marrow of the head out through the nostrils without breaking a bone, and hence you could access that. And okay, marrow is like meat. But you cannot be counted and listed as a member of the group for the marrow that's in the narrow thigh bone, because that's a bone that's closed on both sides. The only way to access it is to break a bone that you know I'll do. So you can't be counted for that amount of meat. When someone's eating the korban pesach, so he cuts the meat on the bone and he eats it, and he breaks the bones from the joint. And he can detach the joints, not breaking a bone, just detaching one bone from another one by the ligaments. Imratz if he wants to. And when he gets up to the sciatic nerve, which is forbidden to be eaten, he takes it out, and he leaves it there with the other tendons, the bones, and the membrane, which the person is not going to eat, and he takes it out when he's eating. Why are these all being taken out as he's eating? Generally, when we eat meat, it's already kosher, it was already, he did nikri, did all these things. No, here we don't clean it out like we do with a regular kosher piece of meat. Rather, only things that are biblically forbidden, which would give a flavor that you can't roast it with it. But everything else, the halacha is, you don't cut it out. Rather, you roast it whole. That's how you're supposed to roast a korban pesach. Now, if you did cut it into pieces, and then you roasted a kosher, it would be valid, but as long as you're not missing a limb. Now, a person has to put in the effort that he shouldn't leave over from any of the meat of the korban pesach up until the morning. Because then it says that prohibition in the Torah, don't leave over from it until the morning. The same applies by pesach sheni and ear. It says in Bamidbar, don't leave over from it until the morning. If he did leave over from it, by the first pesach or the second one, of a balaisa says violent negative prohibition, which says don't leave it over. But he doesn't get lashes for this prohibition, because it can be remedied with a positive commandment. Like I said, the pasuk in Shemayis about whatever is left over from it, but ish tisreifu should be burnt in the fire. So you're remedying it by burning in the fire. Halachid Beis continues regarding the sister carbon that comes with the carbon pesach is the chagiga that's brought on the 14th of Nisan. When they would sacrifice the Karban Pesach by the first one, meaning in the 14th of Nisan, they would bring with it a Karban Shlom, a peace offering, on the 14th of Nisan. And this is different than that of the Karban Pesach. Here it could be either from the cattle or from the flock, gedolim or ketanim, older or younger, zecharim in the cave, is male or female, like a regular Karban Shlom. This is what's called Chagigas Arba Asar, the celebration of the 14th. This is what it says in Devarim. They're going to slaughter a Pesach of Hashem, your God, the cattle and the flock, but the Karban Pesach is not from the Bakar. It means the Shlam, the Chagiga that comes with it. Now, when do we bring the Chagiga? Not always. When do we bring the Chagiga with the Karban Pesach? There's three criteria. When it's coming Bechel on the weekday, that's when the 14th of Nisan is. Ubitara, and it's being brought in a state of purity. Uvemuit, and when there's many people counted on the Karban Pesach, and there's very little meat to go around to be eaten ala saiva that everyone should be satisfied. That's when you mean the Chagiga. Let's say the 14th of Nisan Erev Pesach, when you bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos, which doesn't allow us to do Malach unless it's necessary. Or let's say the Korban Pesach being burned in the state of Tumah, where only what's necessary we allow in Tumah, which is the Korban Pesach. Or there was many Korban Pesachs to be eaten, and no one's hungry, so we don't have to have more Korbanas. Then in those situations, we don't bring together with it a Chagiga, and always sacrifice the Korban Pesach itself. Chagigas are ba'asr. The Korban Chagiga from the 14th of Nisan, in contrast, is one that's brought on the 15th, which is by every Yom Tov. So that Chagiga is Rishus, it's voluntary. It's not an obligation. Now, V'necheles l'shnei yom b'layla echetz, eaten for 2 days and one night in between. Like every Korban Shlam. V'asla nech m'psar Chagiga is abba asli y'mashlish. You're not to leave over the meat of this Korban Chagiga till the third day, like a regular Shlam. Shlam, like it says in the Pasig, V'layolim in abasa shetizbach b'er, b'yem rish labayk, you shouldn't leave over the meat, which is slaughtered in the evening on the first day till the morning. Which Mepiash Molamda from tradition they learned, Shazah Ashara, this is a prohibition, Lamanich Basa Chagigas Arba Asr, for someone who leaves over the meat of the Chagigah of the 14th of Nisan, Lim Shisha Asr to the 16th of Nisan. Krishnemet says in the Pasik, La Baiker, till the morning. Now, if it really meant to the morning of the 15th, which is the next day, it could have just said Baiker without a Lamed. What's La Baiker? From the extra Lamed, you learn that, A Baiker Shal Yom HaShein until the morning of the second day, which is really the third day. The first day, the 14th, 15th, and then the 16th. The Hamoiser, whoever does leave over from it, you know, like it doesn't get lashes, Eli Yisrba, Noisim, Emen, the Kashar, and the Summon, rather, like we said, it's Nitiglase, you burn the leftover from it like all other leftover Kabbanas. Lochi Dald, Besar Chagiga, Sha'olam Pesach al Shulchan. So let's say you have the meat of the Chagiga, you have the Seder table, you have the meat of the Chagiga is on the same table as the Korban Pesach, and Machala Tavshilin, all the cooked dishes, Oilam Mamay al Shulchan that are on the same table as the Korban Pesach, Mizbar Nimoy has to be gotten rid of together with the Korban Pesach. And therefore you can't eat from it only until midnight, like the Pesach itself. Because we're concerned that we might mix up what's what, and the Korban Pesach has to be done with at those times, therefore everything else also is included there. Now, Halachat Hasvav differentiates, we've been comparing the Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, what are the differences between these two Korban Pesachs? Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, what's the difference between the Pesach on the first one that's brought on the 14th of Nisan to the one that's brought, if someone missed out, on the 14th of Iyar? So Harishon, the first Korban Pesach, Aser b'chametz b'bal yirah b'bal yimatzeh. It's prohibited for any individual to see or be found in his possession the chametz, leavened bread. And second of all, v'ein nishchar al chametz. You cannot slaughter the Pesach if you're in possession of chametz. V'ein metzim imenu chutz l'chabur, you cannot take your Korban Pesach out of your group. And v'torn hal b'chalas, you have to say hal when you're eating the Korban Pesach. U'mevinu mechagiga, and if there's not enough people, if there's too many people, you have to bring a Korban Chagiga with it. And the efshesh yav b'tumah im nitmereva kol tumas mes. It's also possible to bring the Korban Pesach in the state of tumah if most of the Jewish people have tumah from a dead person. Mashman, like we explained, perik zayin lach aleph. Now, avo pesach sheni, but the pesach that's brought in ear, chametz amatzi mebabais. He could have chametz amatzi with him in the house when he's having this second seder. Vein the turn hal b'chalas. He doesn't have to say hal when he's eating it. Umitzin lesichus lachabados. He can take it out of his group. Vein mevin mechagig. You don't bring a chagig with it. Vein b'tumah. You can't bring it in the state of tumah. Now, however, Ushneim Dechmes and Shabbos, what they do have in common, both of them override Shabbos to bring their carbon. Utu'un Hal Basiyasin, and you have to say Hal when you're making the carbon Pesach, not when you're eating it. And Menachal and Tzali, they both have to be eaten roasted, but Vaisechet in one house. Amatza Amor, together we're eating Matza Amor. And Ve'imay Simhem, you cannot leave over from them. Vein Shemhem Esaretzim, you cannot break the bone of either one of them. Now, the question is, why do we compare the Pesach Sheni to the Pesach Rishon for all halachic purposes? Like all the statutes of the Korban Pesach, you should do the second one. So why don't we compare it unilaterally? The reason is, Lefisha perish by mixes chukas a Pesach, because the Torah specifies some of the statutes of the Korban Pesach when you're talking about the Pesach Sheni. Why are you mentioning some of them? Lama to teach. She'ena Shavala Rishon is not similar to the first one, El Bedramash and Esparsha, but only regarding those things that it is explicit regarding them. And what are those things? Ve'ena Mitzvah Shebegufay. Those are things regarding the actual carbon itself. Like we said, regarding breaking the bone, leaving over, it's something with the carbon itself. Ve'him Chukas HaPesach, those are the statutes of the Pesach, but let's say something like chametz in your house, that has nothing to do with the carbon Pesach itself, that's not similar Pesach Sheni to Pesach Rishon. Now this word Shaklol is either from the previous sentence or the next sentence, where Ve'him Chukas HaPesach Shaklol, that's what's included in Chukas HaPesach, or Shaklol Zeh, or Vichlol Zeh. But be there as it may, Zeshneh b'Mitzrayim, this says that when the Jewish people made the first Seder night in Egypt, Shilokach HaPesach Mibasa, that she purchased the Korban Pesach and take it from the 10th of Nisan. And second of all, Vishu Toin HaGoyz Dam, that they had to go out and put blood, Bagudas Ezev, together with a bundle of hyssop. La mashkev to the lintel, the mezuzah, and to two doorposts. And third of all, v'shechol bechabazin, that should be eaten in haste. In oisim advarim noigim ladaris, those things do not apply for generations. V'loinaso el bepesach mitzrayim levad, that was only done, only that one time, the Karban Pesach that was eaten in Egypt. Slikulu hilchas Karban Pesach, b'shad the Shema, we have concluded the laws of Karban Pesach with heavenly assistance.